The word of God which we consider this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Christ Jesus, our Savior. The theme this week, Jesus the True Bread, is, of course, based on the gospel lesson for last Sunday, the feeding of the 5,000. Which is depicted, of course, on the worship folder, along with the words of Jesus, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." Our lesson this morning is from the Sermon on the Mount, a different occasion, but it aims at the same thing. After Jesus has taught his followers, the Lord's Prayer, with the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," he says that one is not to lay up for oneself treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Followed by that statement, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon means whatever is trusted in, and thus it stands for treasure or riches. Usually it refers to material things which are in opposition to God. But a question suggests itself at this point. God's word says a great deal about bread, in the sense of all those things that we need to support our body and life. And what we believe, what Scripture teaches, is summarized in Martin Luther's explanation of the first article. "He richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life." Jesus also promises that our Heavenly Father knows everything that we need and will provide it. And yet, at the same time, it's made clear that the child of God must labor for what is needed for body and life. So St. Paul, for example, wrote to the Thessalonians, "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." And he explains that we do not eat and live for free, but work and labor for all that is needed for this life. Now stop and think for a moment why you are here in college. I hope that you think first of the great value of a Christian liberal arts education. But reality says that the first thing that you think about probably is that you are pursuing an education, a kind of an education, that will position you in the workforce with a job that will provide you and your family with enough income to live comfortably and to enjoy life and not live in poverty or on the welfare rolls. And yet, we hear Jesus say in the very next verse after our text, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink." So what then is the real point of Jesus' words about not serving God and mammon, that you can't have two masters? The first thing that we have to say is that we must value material things in this life, especially those things that are needed in order to live and be comfortable. Unlike the Gnostics, We do not hold material things to be inherently evil, and we should value them exactly because they are God's gifts, in fact, much more than we deserve. But mammon can't be the master. That's how St. Paul explains it in the first chapter of his letter to the Romans when he says about the heathen, they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. The creature has taken the place of the creator. All of the creature comforts that God has given us, provided us, with which are to be valued because they are from him and because they are his gifts to us. Now, this might seem to be a pretty easy thing to do. All you have to do is differentiate between the creator and the created thing. Who could possibly confuse them? Certainly not me. The picture Jesus gives, of course, is of a slave or a servant having two masters. Absolute neutrality is simply impossible. One will be preferred and the other will be lessened. And the relationship between God and his gifts to us must stand. In that relationship, they can't both be masters. One is the master, and that can be only the creator, not the creature, not the created thing. When the gift becomes the master, then it is mammon. The Sermon on the Mount reaches its climax in the verses that come shortly after our text. When Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what's important here. That is, God's Son, the Redeemer of the world, his righteous, holy obedience to God's law and to suffering and to death on the cross. That is to be the highest value, the master. He doesn't call on us to renounce the world, to cut ourselves off from it, to lock ourselves up in a cave up on a mountain. Rather, to be here is exactly our calling. But he calls us to serve him and him alone as the master, the creator, the Lord. So long as he is the one and only Lord, your one master, you are freed from bondage to what is corruptible, to mammon. But as soon as corruptible material ceases to be the gift and becomes the giver, then one master will be loved and the other one will be hated. And for our raw human nature, the human nature that we still carry around with us every day, it's no contest at all as to what will be loved above all else. It will be what I have in my hand, what I can touch and feel, not the spiritual blessings that I cannot see or touch. So that means that there is no help to be expected from my own good intentions. But the psalmist answers the question for us. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Only he, the creator, the giver, can be the master. He is the God of all gifts, the highest of which is the gospel of his righteousness in Jesus Christ my Lord, the only righteousness with which I can stand before him at his throne of grace. To him alone be the glory. Amen.